my name is George, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, George.
I want to welcome the new people. I was once new, like you. And I remember my very first meeting, I felt like shit. And I even said that when I shared it, when my second meeting. And the guy told me, he goes, "I'm glad you feel like shit. That's a good place to be." I didn't like when he made that comment to me because I thought he was making fun of me. But here I sit with over 24 years of sobriety. I know what he meant by that now. I prayed before I got here to this meeting. I said, "God, ask and pray that when I share this evening, I share your will with these people, God, not mine, and the power to cut it out." That's where step 11 has taken me. If you're new, you may not understand some of the things that I may share. And if you don't understand something, that's okay. Don't worry about it. That's what my sponsor told me when I got here. He goes, "If and when you understand something, it's going to be in God's time, not yours." And I know that to be true for me. Congratulations to all the people who took chips. And I've got one of every chip. I've got 24 chips. I've got over 24 years of sobriety. My sobriety date is March 29th, 1992. I've been here since day one. So I know Alcoholics Anonymous does work. Another reason why I know Alcoholics Anonymous does work, because I've never had it so good ever in my life. I've never treated people the way I treat them today. And that's because of the feelings that I have today. Prior to getting to Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't feel too much. I didn't care too much about what you or how you felt, whether I hurt you, whether I ripped you off. I didn't care. I'm going to share with you what I was like, what happened to me because of my alcoholism, and what I am today because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I got 5 brothers and 2 sisters. All of them are alcoholics. I don't believe I was born an alcoholic. Some people say they were. It's your business whether you think you were. I wasn't born with a fucking can in my hand. But I took my first drink at 13 years old, and I drank till I was 35. For over 23 years, I drank. The last 10 or 15 years, I drank every day. As soon as I woke up 6 in the morning, I was on my way to the store with friends. Because of my alcoholism, I abused women. I slapped women around. I'm not proud of the things I did, but that's where my alcoholism took me. Because of my alcoholism, I neglected my kids. Didn't pay attention to them. And just didn't pay attention to my mother either. My father, he's on the other hand, he was an alcoholic just like me. I wound up being just like him, if not worse. Because he was abusive with my mother, and I saw that. But I wound up being the same way. You know, as a teenager, I was involved in sports. I was a very good athlete. I used to play baseball. I don't remember not one time any of my parents attending any of my sports activities. Why my mother didn't? She's not an alcoholic. Why my mother did? I don't know. I still don't know. I haven't even asked her. I don't even know if I want to know. My dad, on the other hand, I understand why he didn't, because he's an alcoholic, like I was. And I've got a 36-year-old daughter right now. I remember her asking me to go to her softball games in high school. broken promises. I didn't attend them, but that's the way it was. That's the nature of the beast. That's alcoholism at its best. It doesn't want me to be a good father. It doesn't want me to be a productive member of society. Because when I put a drink in my system, a little voice in my head says, I don't care. Fuck you and the horse you rode on. I don't care about nothing or nobody. But as a result of my alcoholism, I got into drugs too. Drugs is part of my story. It might not be part of yours, but it's part of mine. And you know, I didn't have a guidance from a father who told me, don't do this, don't do that, don't get involved in gangs, don't do drugs. I didn't have a father teach me those things because of he was an alcoholic and drugged himself. The mother, she didn't tell me either. I don't know why she didn't, but anyway. So as a teenager, I started doing things on my own because that's when my mother left my dad because he caught my dad with another woman. You know, that's the way he was. He cheated on my mother. I was the same way. I cheated on my wife. I'm not proud of it, but that's what I did. I know all the bad things I did, all the evil things I did to whoever I did, all the people I ripped off, all the times I went to jail, every crime I committed, all that was necessary in order for me to be here right now standing talking to you. Because that one thing been left out, I wouldn't be sitting here, I wouldn't be standing up here talking to you. I do regret a lot of my past. I do regret hurting my kids the way they hurt them. I do regret hurting myself. I do regret not listening to my mother, but I don't wish to shut the door on those things. My past is one of my greatest assets today. You know, when I was about 16 years old, I had my first daughter at 16 years old. I've been on my own since I was 16. I've got 5 daughters and 1 son today. I got 14 grandkids. But I love them. I love them. Because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I get to show them that I love them. Unlike the way I showed my kids, I get to show my grandkids. But you know, when I was about 17 years old, I was involved I was doing construction work and I got injured. And then I had to have back surgery. And they gave me $17,000. I've never had $17,000 ever in my life. And I was out there drinking still when I got that check. And what did I do with those $17,000? I think I spent it in less than 3 months. I partied my ass off with whoever was around me. Some people told me, hey, those guys are just using you for your money. I told them, I don't give a shit. You either want some or get the fuck away from me. I didn't react to situations too good when I was out there. I don't know how to do life. That's what I didn't know how to do on life's terms. I didn't know no better. I knew the lifestyle of the streets. I lived the lifestyle of the Vida Loca for a lot of years. I survived those years. But just because you don't come from where I come doesn't mean that you may not be an alcoholic. I don't know if you're an alcoholic, but if you'd be in this room, yeah, you're here for a reason. It wasn't for being a fucking good guy or a good person, a good girl. But, after I spent those $23,000, the $17,000, I was partying with my dad, because my dad was divorced already, and I partied with my dad every day for the last 10 years that I was out there. We did drugs together, drank together every day. I started drinking. When I started first drinking, it was with a little bottle of Orange Rock. I used to drink the Thunderbird, Gallo, Vin Rose, TJ Swan, all the cheap stuff. And I wound up on my last days drinking was the cheap stuff. I was drinking out of a bag, drinking the Thunderbird every morning. But my last day of drinking was March 28th. But prior to that, March 26th, on a Friday, a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a while, I didn't see him for a while, and then when I saw him, I asked him where he had been. He said he had been to the VA hospital because he wanted to stop doing drugs and drinking. And I asked him about it. He goes, does it work? He goes, he just told me it's up to the individual. So on March 26th, I got the number from the VA hospital. I called them. I told them if they could take me right away, because I didn't think I was going to make it through the whole weekend. And they said, no, you got to come in Monday. So basically, tough shit. You got to. And the 28th, which was on a Sunday, was my last day of doing anything, drinking, doing drugs. See, I was real bad out there. While being married, I used to sell prostitutes and sell drugs and do that stuff while being married. I'm not proud of it. That's what I did. And the last day I drank was in a Motel 6. I had 2 8-balls. If you don't know what an 8-ball is, don't worry about it. I had 2 cases of Budweiser, a fifth of tequila. And I used to do drugs with a needle. And I've seen a lot of people go into convulsions as a result. And that was the first time when I did that, my knees started to buckle. I was going down to my knees, and I told one of the prostitutes to fill up the syringe again. I was going to do another issue. But then a little voice in my head said, if you do this one, you're gone. Today, I know it to be this loving God and my understanding that I don't understand that I found in these rooms. That was the last day. I went to the VA hospital. I never even heard of Alcoholics Anonymous ever in my life. I went there for a 21-day program. And the seventh day in there, you got to go to these meetings. And then I heard them, they were sharing in little group sessions. And I told them, you know what, I didn't come here to stop drinking. I told them, I just want to stop doing drugs. And they all laughed, basically. And I got mad, too, but I didn't express it. But after being about 10 days, I realized that alcohol was a big problem. And I had to stop everything, and I did. Before you leave that VA hospital, you don't leave that VA hospital without getting a prescription. And I go, all right, they're going to give me some drugs. But on my prescription, it said 90 meetings in 90 days. I attended my first meeting out there in the streets, and I didn't know what to expect when I got there. But I didn't miss one meeting for over 6 years. My first 6 years, I didn't miss one meeting. That's how many meetings I went to every day. Because these rooms were blowing me away, because something about these rooms were keeping me sober, and I don't know what it was. I even told my wife, son of a bitch, I've been sober 40 days. I go, I've never been sober 40 days in my life. But I kept coming back, because a change was happening. And I started saying please and thank you to people. I go, fuck, what are these people doing to me, man? But it was a good change. It was a good change. So I kept coming. And then I was just listening. I would hear this one short guy. This one short guy, he looked like a white guy, but he was bald-headed. He was about a foot shorter than me. And I heard him sharing. He said he had belonged in gangs, too. And I was listening to him. After the meeting, I went up to him and asked him if he would sponsor me. he pulled me to the side. He goes, why do you want me to sponsor you? I go, because I was listening to your story. Your story is almost like mine. And this short guy is 20 years older than me and a foot shorter than me. He tells me, you don't know a fucking thing about me. He talked to me earlier. He cussed when he talked to me. Where I come from, nobody ever cussed at me that way. Nobody. Because if anybody even got within arm's distance of me and you talk like that to me, I hit you. That's just the way of the street life, you know what I mean? But I didn't hit that guy. I know why I didn't today. And because God did for me that day what I couldn't do for myself. He asked me if I was willing to go to any lengths to stay sober. And I looked at him like, why is he asking me this? And I gave him the answer he wanted. I said, I told him, yeah. He goes, you know how to read? I go, yeah, I know how to read. He pointed out to one of the traditions of the steps of the wall. He said, read me this. One of them. And I read it. He goes, okay, you know how to read. He asked me if I was willing to go any lengths to stay sober. And I said, yeah. He goes, I want, you have a big book? I go, no. He goes, so he got me a big book. He goes, I want you to read the big book in 30 days. He goes, if you don't have that book read in 30 days, he said, look for yourself another sponsor. He said, don't waste my fucking time. And that's how he talked to me. I'm glad he talked to me that way. He told me to go to a meeting every day also for 30 days. And he goes, if you miss one day, he goes, look for yourself another sponsor. Don't waste my fucking time. He goes, call me every day. Every day for 30 days. If you miss one day, look for yourself another fucking sponsor. And I did those things. He goes, you believe in God? I go, I don't believe in God, but I don't go to church. He goes, I didn't ask you if you went to church. I just asked you if you believe in God. Yeah. So he told me to pray for my obsession, for my alcoholism and my drug addiction to go away for 7 days. Before I could ask him why, he goes, don't even ask me why. He goes, just fucking do it, George. Just fucking do it. I'm glad he talked to me that way, because where I come from the streets, man. Where I come from, they don't call shit poo-poo. You know what I mean? I did these things. I did all of the steps. Slowly but thoroughly. That's one of the key words for me, thoroughness. With a sponsor. If you be new in here and you don't have a sponsor, get a sponsor. Because right now if you don't have a sponsor, I'll tell you what I heard in a convention with a guy with 36 years of sobriety. He said right now, if you be in here, you don't have a sponsor. Right now you got a fucking idiot for a sponsor. Don't get mad if you, just because of what I said. Hey, some people get mad in here, they get resentful for what people share in meetings, and then they don't come back out there. And then they wonder why they're drinking. It's not because of what they said that made them drink. It's because they wanted to drink more than they wanted to stay sober, bottom line. They weren't ready to hear the message. You mean, if you're not ready, you're not ready. You know, and if you go back out there in the streets, you'll be new. Hey, better you than me. You got some more shit to happen to your ass. That's what they told me when I got here. He goes, if you wind up killing somebody, better you to kill them than me. That's what happened to my sponsor. My sponsor took a life. He went going the wrong way on the freeway. He ran into a priest. He killed a priest. Oh. Okay? But that's what it took for him, for his wake-up call. You be in here and that hasn't happened to you. That doesn't have to happen to you. But that's a yet. It can happen. Okay? If you wind up going to prison for the rest of your life, better you than me. That's what my sponsor told me. He goes, and if you die and you go back out there, better you to die than me, he told me. He gave me tough love, what he did. He told me the truth in spite of me getting my feelings hurt. That's how much he loved me. So I come in here, these rooms, because my life depends on it. I don't know how far down the scale you have gone. I know where I come from. I know why my life is the way it is today. I know why relationships that weren't and that are today, I know why they are today. It's because of rooms like this, people like you, and most importantly, just loving God and my understanding that I don't understand that I found in these rooms. I could have missed it all, people. You know, I've sponsored over 160 guys since I've been in these rooms. You know why I know I sponsor that? Because every sponsor I get, I write down on paper. Either fired or he fired me or whatever, you know. But I don't take credit for the people who go back out there. Because my second guy sponsor, I told him I went up to my sponsor, man, what did I do wrong? Man, the guy fucking went and drank again. know, hey, you got that much power to get anybody drunk or sober. He goes, you were helping him. Did you stay sober? I go, yeah, I stayed. See, you stayed sober. He wasn't ready. Bottom line. So that's why I don't get to take credit for the people who go back out there, nor do I take credit for the people who stay either. The ones who stay were ready. I just guide them and help them and walk with them through things like the people who got here before did with me. It's not something that I made up, because I'm not that fucking smart, man. You people are my teachers. You teach, you feed me. That's why I say I remain somewhat dumb. It keeps me teachable and small enough to stay in these rooms. Because you can come here and try to figure everything out, then you wonder why you're fucking drunk again. I don't have to do that, Lord. I've seen too many people go in and out of these rooms. I've seen a lot of people die. I just went to a memorial just a few hours prior to getting here. My friend died. He was 67. And he died from alcoholism. He was shitting blood and bleeding blood out of his mouth. But that's alcoholism at its best. He left a lot of nieces and nephews behind. But I'm here for the long term, one day at a time. I go into the prison systems. I went Thursday into CMC, the east side. They got killers in there. I'm not afraid of those guys. Because they're people, they're just like me. A lot of them have committed criminal crimes. They have committed crimes just like I committed. I just didn't get caught. They did. But I enjoy doing things like that. I have gone into schools, public schools, and talked to health classes, talked to teenage kids. And I've talked to teenage kids and told them about ditching school. Because I drank and did drugs and took advantage of girls when they got drunk. And I told them, you gotta watch out for people like me. I told those teenagers. And after that class, three girls came up to me and told me, you know what? That happened to my friend. So I even go to the juvenile hall. I got to the juvenile halls, to the one in San Luis Obispo. And when I went to the juvenile hall over there, I knew there was about 12 of them. I think I knew six of them. I knew their dads. I used to party my ass off with them. So God's got his way of putting me where I'm supposed to be. I'm one of those people who believe that nothing, absolutely nothing in God's world happens by mistake. Because loving God and my understanding, I don't understand that following this room doesn't make mistakes. For me, it is what it is. Whatever it is, whenever it is, whatever's going on in my life right now, however my what do you call that? Whatever my health issues are today, whatever health issues I have today, those are the ones I'm supposed to have. Because if I was supposed to have them, I wouldn't have them. However every relationship is right now, if it's not good, it's not supposed to be good. If it was supposed to be good, it'd be good, but it's not. Okay? That's why acceptance plays a big part for me. I don't have to approve of what happens in life, but I have to accept it. That way I can find some peace and serenity for me. My sponsor pushed those pages onto me all the time. He goes, whenever I was upset or something, angry, he told me, what part haven't you accepted? He told me, go read pages 448 and 449 on my third edition. That's the pages. If you have a fourth edition, it's on page 416, 417. So, I'm one of those people who just has a lot of acceptance. It's really it feels good not to let small shit. I don't sweat the small shit. I don't let people ruin my whole days. Not to say I don't get mad at people, but I don't give them power to ruin my whole days. Cause I used to get pissed off the whole day for someone said, and I didn't like that. And my couple went and told my sponsor how I was feeling. He goes, you like feeling what you're feeling? I go, no. He goes, "Brother Stip, stop fucking doing what you're doing." And so I gotta come. I come here, see, because I know I'm not all there, people. I'm not all there. And if you're being here, neither are you, except for the probably the Al-Anon lady. If you're not an alcoholic, you'll never understand me, and I'll never understand you. If you're not an alcoholic, you'll never understand what I drink, and I'll never understand what you don't. I enjoy life today. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous has allowed me to do, get back into the mainstream of life. I'm very much a participant in my family's life today. I've got a 26-year-old son who's never seen me drink, but yet yesterday I was his designated driver. Because my wife went out of town, San Diego, to go watch my granddaughter's softball game tournament, and I went to the fair with my son and my nephew. And then I took him to a nightclub, and I went and I saw two people from Alcoholics Anonymous who relapsed. They weren't too happy to see me. They asked me what the hell I was doing here. I'm just enjoying myself. See, but I can go places like that because I'm there for a reason. I'm not there to tease myself, whatever. You know? But prior to doing all the steps of the program, I you people told me to find new playmates. And in my mind, I said, "Fuck that! I'm gonna still go around my friends." And I did go around my friends when I first got here. And I came and shared it. I'm going around my friends. And I didn't drink. My sponsor, he pointed out to me, "Yeah." But when you do that, all you're doing is teasing yourself. Why tease yourself? You don't have to do that. Well, if anything, all they want you is for your money. Because $20 went a long way for me. Because I used to just smoke when I was new, and $20 went a long way. I just had a pack of cigarettes, and the rest, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to do financial things. And what I wound up doing when I got sober, I wound up attending the Santa Barbara Business College. I took up computerized accounting. Today I'm my own boss. I'm a paving contractor. It took me 5 times to pass the test. Why? Because the four times that I went and took the test, they give you all the answers. They give us about 200 questions, and I memorized about 190 of them. I go, I can't go wrong. I can't go wrong. I'll pass. And I failed every time the math part. And I even memorized the formula, but I still failed the math part. And I didn't understand why. And the fourth time I went with my sponsor to Ventura, and I failed again. I went out there all pissed off. I went in the parking lot. And I said, "God, why in the fuck did you put me through this?" I got my keys. I threw my sponsor. He goes, "I told him, here, you fucking drive." He got the keys. He threw them back to me. He goes, "No, you drive." He goes, "What are you gonna do? Drink? You gonna quit?" And I didn't. So the fifth time I took it, I went to Bakersfield and took a crash course. The identical same questions were on there, the same math problem, but what was different was the formula to the math problem. All those other people had the wrong damn formula. That's why I filled it. And I was pissed off. So. But I did. I paid $600. I paid $600 for that. So I went in, instead of, because people who burned me like that before, I would take care of you or have someone of my friends go do something to you. That's what I took care of. Issues. But this time, I'm learning the art of fighting without fighting. So the way I fought him was I took him to court, small claims court. I got my $600 back. See, had I reacted the way I usually, I would wound up in jail. That would have been real selfish of me. I would have wound up in jail. And where would I left my kids? Without a father. Where would I left my wife? Without a father. Yeah. So, valuable lessons I have learned. You know, and I know there is a God today. I'm going to share with you an incident that happened to me. You know, my wife's mother, she was diabetic. She was on dialysis. And she couldn't open her eyes because she had yellow jaundice. If she opened her eyes, all you could see was a yellow. She couldn't talk to you or nothing. So I went to support for my wife. And And I, my wife came out of the visiting room. She goes, "Are you ready?" I go, "Yeah, I'm ready." But then a little voice says, in my head said, "Right now would be a good time to make amends to your mom because she can't hear you, she can't talk to you, your mother-in-law. Do the chicken shit way, eh?" So I told my wife, "I'm going to go to the restroom." And I lied. So I went down the hallway. You come to a T. To the right was to the restroom. To the left was my mother-in-law's room. I went to the right. I stepped around the corner. I stayed there for about 5 seconds. And I peeked my head out. See, my wife was looking. She wasn't. So I dashed across towards my mother-in-law's room. And then my mother-in-law, she was in the room. I went right up to her bedside. And I never called this woman in over 16 years by her name. But when I said, "Dolores..." And that woman, she turned to me and she woke, she opened her eyes and they were clear. And that blew me away right there. Because they were yellow. And I said, "I want to apologize for all the things I did to your daughter, the way I talked to you." And she even talked to me. She said, "George, I forgive you." Now when she said, "I forgive you," here comes my sister-in-law walked in the room. As soon as my sister-in-law got to the bedside, my mother-in-law turned, and she fucking shut down. Now, to me, God woke her ass up so she can hear what I had to say, not do it the chicken shit way. Some of those things might happen, don't happen to every, that happen to people, not everybody. But that happened to me. You know, one more thing. You know, I was at San Antonio Lake also. We're swimming with my daughter, and there was a raft in the middle, about 200 feet, 150 feet in the water. You can jump on it, get off. Here comes a patrol guy, patrol boat. He comes with a bullhorn telling everybody to get out of the water. So everybody goes ashore, and then I'm right there with my daughter. But before I got out of the water, my daughter were with water about this far, and we got out of the water, and then the guy jumped in the water, he took off his pants, had some shorts off, came up, nothing. So here comes two lifeguards from the shore. They're holding hands. They're walking in the water. Then they come back to shore because they didn't find nothing. They asked for volunteers. And I told my daughter, "You know, I know how to swim." So I volunteered. There was about eight of us. We formed a C. We held hands. I was on the far left. And then they told us, "We'll just walk in the water." We walked. And then when we got about chest level deep, a little voice in my head said, kick your foot to the left. And I kicked my foot, and I felt something. I let go of my right hand. I went into the water, and I picked up this individual. Now, I brought him to shore, and they tried to revive him, but they couldn't. And where I found him was where me and my daughter were playing, because she had stepped on something mushy. And I didn't go check it out. I just said, "Well, let's come over here." Had I went and checked earlier, they might have revived that guy. And I was all pissed off at myself. And then someone tapped me on my shoulder. I looked around, and we're in a big open area. There was a little old man there. That guy could hardly walk. I mean, he could hardly walk. He told me, "Sonny Moy," he goes, "there's nothing you could have done. It was his time." So about 30 seconds, I turned around and talked to my daughter, and I turned around to look at find this old man, and he was gone. There's no way that fucking old man could have took off in open space, and as slow as he was walking. To me, God, that's why I say I've got a God of my understanding that I don't understand works mysteriously in my life. And a lot of coincidences have happened to me since I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous. Today, I don't call them coincidences. Today, for me, they are God incidents, not coincidences. And they still happen. They still happen. So I'm here for the long term, one day at a time. So if you be new, man, hopefully alcohol has kicked your ass good and hard. I really hope it has. I hope you're willing to go to any length to stay sober. Because you're not going to stay. You're not going to prove me wrong either. I'm going to be here whether you stay or go. Because I got a taste of this sobriety. I got a taste of what it feels like to have a God conscience, and I like the feeling. Feelings is what got me here, and feelings can take me back out. So I've got to keep my side street clean. Okay? So, you new people, there is hope. no matter how far down the scale you've gone, no matter what you think of yourself, hey, you're a good person. You just don't know it. That's what they told me when I got you. You're a good person. And I know that to be true because I'm the best person I've ever been my whole life. And so if you're new, just keep an open mind. Just keep an open mind and take suggestions and directions from someone else other than yourself. That's what they told me. Okay? Some of the stuff that people do in here and say in here, it sounds corny. Sounds corny as shit. And like the one of my sponsors, he told me one time, he asked me if I ever loved myself. He asked me, do you love yourself? I never had a man ever ask me that in my life. I looked at him, I don't know. Yeah, come. He goes, well, for the next 7 days, he goes, I want you to wake up in the morning, brush your hair, comb your teeth, comb your hair, and look at yourself in the mirror, and just go like this. Tell yourself you're a good person. And I looked at him, and he goes, don't even ask me why. He goes, just fucking do it, George, just do it. So I did it. The third morning, I was doing that, I was like this. My wife walked in on me when I was going like this. And she told me, what are you doing? I go, I'm just telling myself I'm a good person. And her response back was, you know what? You people over there are fucking crazy. You know, we may do crazy things, but hey, I found it to be true. I love the person I am today. I really do, man. And that's because of change. Change is a constant. It doesn't stop. Change is very uncomfortable. But today, change is very necessary for my spiritual growth. It's about continuing to change and grow or not, and I'm going to go. And I don't want to go no place, people. And with that, I hope you all have a nice evening, unless you got other plans. Thank you.
Let's thank George L. again. Now we'll turn the meeting back to our secretary.
George, wonderful job by George. Thank you, thank you, thank you.